It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in. We're trucking on down to Memphis.
Welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramick along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
This is going to be the cut him off bartender edition of the show, I think.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
good to
everybody
come in here in high spirits.
I'd have had a drink before I got here.
The day before Christmas.
Yeah. Maybe I ought to go get one now. Then come back.
Christmas Eve. Hold off for an hour.
Well, I hope everybody is done with their Christmas shopping and doesn't have to go back out on the highways
too.
Again.
I do too. It was miserable out on the
road. Gridlock on the airport at Bel Air.
And some yahoo with an RV decided to go through the tunnel, and it cleaned off the top of his damn air conditioned units and all went off the top of his RV.
Yeah, that's never a good
thing.
That
was this evening.
That's always interesting.
Don't you know that was an expensive Christmas present? Well, he presented to himself.
I'm sure.
Because it tore the roof up.
Some of those campers are like Greyhound buses.
Well, but you get a warning.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm sure those pipes that go across the road, lights would have had to hit it.
They had to hit, yeah.
And all the lights had to be flashing. And he probably just thought they were Christmas lights.
He said, look here, we're going in a hole in the ground.
That's right. But, like I said, a few weeks ago, we went out to Houston, and I've learned that it's not only going into a hole in the water that slows people down.
Yeah.
It's going over the top of water.
Oh, really?
It's something to do with water. I don't know what it is. Because if they go up a bridge,
that may be.
Because you can be going up this big bridge, and it's, 5 mile an hour up to the top, and you get to the top, you can't see another car. I mean,
everybody's took off.
Took off in a race. It's like, if you just go.
Yeah.
Could all be going.
They talk about that over the tunnel. They'd be, I'm going like, they must have a wreck in the tunnel. Look how slow everybody's going. They come on through there, and there's nothing. I'm going, it's just gawkers.
Right.
Just gawking at the hole in the ground.
Just looking at the hole in the water. Yeah. We do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Hey, man, how y'all doing again?
Doing wonderful. Doing wonderful.
Listen,
how are you?
I've been car shopping with this bar today.
Uh-oh.
And I came out to UJ, Kevin, but between 1 and 2, you weren't there. I just wanted to meet you, man.
Yeah, I had to run out for a little bit today.
Now, I've seen Tom before, but me and Tom got something in common. We both ugly.
Well, yeah, I'm right there with you. It's okay.
He, the brand new camera looked too much for his system, but he saw one or two to use, but the guys didn't have what he wanted.
Yeah.
He saw a car, I think he even fell in love with it. It's round in his price range, so we probably get it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my question to you. On recall, most all cars have recall now. You think on the car he liked that has the recall, this probably rectified now for 2019, wouldn't you think?
Well, I mean, they can bring recalls out at any time.
Yeah.
It's really, most of the time recalls are not that big a deal when it comes to the consumer.
Yeah.
They're usually fairly easy to take care of. They're a little bit of a headache for the dealer, just for the simple fact of the number of vehicles that we're dealing with. But other than that, it's not a, just like we've had some on our trucks, but it's like a 10-minute reprogram of the brake module or engine module or something, or just a simple inspection to make sure. One of the ones we have right now is they're worried about the glue that seals up the end of the battery cable. I mean the power cable at the alternator. They've had some instances where some of that glue has gotten out to the end of the terminal and causing a connection problem. So they're having us, you know, take a black light and look and see where the glue is and make sure it stops where it's supposed to.
For a car to be 019 on the lot with 13 miles on it, shouldn't be too much of a problem for recalling.
Oh, no, no. I mean, well, if it's a new vehicle and a new dealer is selling it, they cannot legally sell you that car until the recalls are done.
Okay, okay. And let me say one more thing. I done got him off of V8. Mm-hmm. The 6 cylinder is not that bad, is it?
Oh, there's nothing wrong with V6. They're making so much power out of these little small motors nowadays that you don't have to have a V8 motor like our Camaro with a V6 in it. It's over 300 horsepower out the V6.
That ought to be enough for just about anybody.
Yeah. So
I tell him he was driving a 4 cylinder. Now, I told him with that 6, with that turbo, I told him now he can't put $5 in and think he's going to ride 2 days. You know?
Yep, I understand completely. Yeah.
Well, y'all have a good Christmas. And Tom, I'm ugly too, man.
Woo! You ain't ugly as I is.
Merry Christmas, y'all, man. I appreciate talking to you. And I'm going to get this boy off my back. And maybe he'll go back up to Huntsville next week.
Yep. Let him help him buy that car and let him get out of town.
All right, yep. Man.
Y'all have a blessed holiday.
And let me say this again. The car is rear-wheel drive, which I like. And I told him he don't need no all-wheel drive. He don't.
Well, if you're not in a snow and ice situation, you really don't need an all-wheel drive.
You prefer rear-wheel or front-wheel, it don't make you no difference.
You know, they perfected the front-wheel drive stuff, so, I mean, it really doesn't matter. No, it's just in what you prefer. You know, the normal driving of a vehicle nowadays, you'd never know which one it is, you know.
Okay.
I'll put 200,000 miles on my Buick.
I guess we satisfied. Yep. I guess he can get a helicopter next, I guess.
You go. He's going to take you for a ride first.
Yeah.
Enjoy y'all Christmas, man. I appreciate the show, yeah.
All right, brother, appreciate you listening.
Care. Merry
right.
Christmas.
Let's see. We got an interesting text here, and I'm going to have to think about this one for a minute, but Dave from Gulf Shores wants to know, what's the best race car milestone you had or saw this year?
Ooh.
You know, that's and I watch a lot of racing, and I know you do too.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of local stuff. I watch a lot of...
Well, you build some local stuff.
Right. And watch a lot of NASCAR stuff. You know, it's... I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that one a minute, because that's, I've seen a lot of neat stuff on the short track and on the speedway stuff. You know, they were, what's really neat and coming down the pike is in NASCAR, not this coming year, but the next year, is a new next generation car that's going to have independent suspension, independent rear suspension. Whole different chassis set up, like a quick changer in.
That's going to put... There's gazillion millions of dollars worth of rear ends, axles, and all of the components and pieces out there now.
Yep.
From NASCAR all the way to short tracks, and they're going to come in and put in an independent suspension.
Yep. Yep.
That means it's new bucks for everybody, and everybody's got to retool.
There's not going to be much you can even swap. You won't be able to upgrade a current car to that car. It will have to be a brand-new car. It will have to come from a single-source manufacturer.
Oh, my God. Here comes the Tinker Toy, identical Tinker Toys.
Yep.
And that's kind of got me blown away about racing. And you and I talked about it here a couple of nights ago off the air, I think, was the fact that when you take the personalities and the personal capabilities and the ideas of the independent car builder and owners and drivers away, and everything's got to be identical, then, I mean, you know, but I don't know whether that's racing or not. That's not racing like I was accustomed to.
Yeah, you know, I always took a lot of pride in being able to build a better mousetrap.
Sure, right.
Yeah. Give me a set of rules.
Right.
Give me some guidelines to go by so where I have a good idea that I'm racing against something similar.
Yeah.
And I think I can build one better than you can. And
that's an area that we can talk about tonight if you want to. But I heard some really, you know, and you probably know all about it because you're mm-hmm. deeper into the racing now than I am. But we'll take our little break and get fine words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with it, though.
We'll be back.
This is where we do bumps by request.
All right. Let's go. We got Ace Cannon? Hell yeah. Do it.
You want to sing along?
No.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. You got any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, you know, we were talking a little bit about racing and, you know, all the cookie cutter type stuff where, you know, everything's kind of the same. And I don't know, and, you know, there's pluses and minuses to it. I understand that they're trying to lower the cost in a very expensive sport, you know, to where, or no, not, and I say lower, but control the cost to where they're not getting just more and more out of hand. Yeah.
I personally don't follow that, being that you're going to have to, you've got $20 million worth of equipment here, the NASCAR team, let's say. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they don't just have three cars. They probably got 33 cars.
Yeah.
You know, they've got five short track cars and seven or eight super speedway cars. And then they got a 3/4 mile car, and then they got a 1/2 mile car. I mean, that's all of the above.
Right.
But now they have just got to push all of that equipment to the side,
mm-hmm.
and they have to repurchase every dang piece that they've got, except their employees, probably.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so it's to retool and to resupply mm-hmm. and replenish. They're looking at $20 million to, you know, to crank back up again.
Right. Well, what you got to understand is that most of the top teams, they run a car 1-2 times.
Oh, at least.
You know, and then they pass it on down to somebody else, you know.
It winds up in
Arca. And they get a little money back out of it.
It winds up in Arca. I wonder if the rules, I haven't followed the rules and regulations on the NASCAR class, which is the mm-hmm. big class versus the Infinity class.
Right.
As to whether or not those cars could be changed and run down there. Isn't the wheelbase something different or something?
Well, I know at one time it used to be the Cup cars and the ARCA cars were the same wheelbase, but the Grand National, the Xfinity cars now were actually a shorter wheelbase, you know, so you couldn't go directly, you couldn't take a Cup car and kind of the way they do it now, or we're doing it, or try to do, is say a top tier Cup team, they'll race a car a couple times and they'll sell it to a middle of the pack Cup team and they'll run it a few times, then they'll sell it to somebody further on down the food chain and they'll run it a little bit, and then if it still survived all that, then they'll sell it to like an ARCA team
mm-hmm.
and then they'll take it and they'll run it for a while, you know, and then from there it's pretty well done,
right?
You know, at that point,
yeah.
You know?
You stick a fork in them; it's done.
Yeah. So you know, and of course, there's different levels in the ARCA stuff as well, you know. But Most of your front-running ARCA teams, they're going to build brand-new cars all that, just like the Cup guys.
Well, when you charge $1.5 million to $1.75 million a year to run 16 races for some of these young bucks that are 14, 15 years old, that their daddy or their uncle or their granddaddy or somebody's got a bucket full of, basket full of money and is buying them a ride, they're going to have all the neat stuff.
Right. Well, and rightfully so. If I'm going to spend that kind of money, I want first-class equipment.
There you go.
And that's where you got to be careful. And I've seen it happen to people over the years where, they start out at their local short track and they're running, the lower classes. They work their way up a little bit and they scrounge up enough money. Man, I think I can run an ARCA car in one of these short track races. Well, they get to the first guy they can get a hold to, and they rent a car, and it's probably $30,000 to go run that
race. At the minimum.
To run one race, and it is some wore-out piece of you-know-what that is a backup car of a backup car, and you have no chance
of running anywhere
competitive.
No, you're not going to be in the top 15 or 10.
Me personally, I'd rather stay at my local track until I maybe could afford something, my own project or
find that guy with the oil wells in Texas like we know somebody did one time.
We
sponsored him for about 20 years.
Absolutely. It's a very expensive sport, and I appreciate that they're trying to get a handle on it. I'm a little worried about what they're going to do when the TV deals go away. So we'll see what happens.
I would hope that on behalf of the racers that they do like the NFL teams or TV stuff is doing now. I hear that the last contract that they had was like $53 million, some figure. And that goes out in 2022 or something, and then they expect the new contract to be somewhere in the $350-something million.
Right.
And CBS is dropping out, and that ABC or Disney, one will pick that up. I don't know, man. I didn't make those classes on those pay grades, so I really don't know how to talk about those.
Exactly.
I missed those classes.
So all we can do is just hope they keep putting on amazing racing, which they have over the last, over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. The racing is just so competitive.
Right.
It's not a, I know we all like to think about the older races and that and how great they were, and they were, because we were excited about it. We were there and grew up around them.
Right. We were right in the middle of that. Raise your hands and all.
Right. But you may have 3 cars finish on the lead lap in a 500-mile race in a NASCAR race. Now there's 25 cars.
Somehow or another, back then they were getting $900,000 to run a race. It wasn't even $1 million. I mean, not to run a race, but to run a year.
Right.
Back 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
Yep.
And you could run a half a year, or you could run a whole year on $500,000.
Right.
In the Busch Cup,
Right.
But now it's like $30 million for a NASCAR, and it's like $12 or $15 million for the Xfinity cars, and I'm going I don't believe so.
Well, I mean, it's just like with the late model stuff that we've done over the last several years. It's gotten to the point to where if you're going to run a top level super late model team, or even a pro late model team, it's going to be $1 million a year budget to run, substantial schedule.
Yeah.
And run it with top equipment.
Right.
And, your average local guy can't do that.
No.
We can't.
And that's the thing. What you've done, though, is guys like myself that had shops and were capable of building these things and had our own paint booth, we could paint them and had our own welding and cutting. We could build our cars. We did build our cars, just like you built your cars.
Right.
And we put bodies on them And back in the days when they were regular Chevelle bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to a lady the other day. She loves Chevelles. And I said, oh, Lord. You wouldn't have liked me. She said, why? I said, because I tore up about 20 or 30 of those Chevelles. The same body styles you're talking about.
Yep.
I said, I could remember having 9 or 10 of them just stacked up
in the back, just for spare pieces.
Yeah. Because, you know, the deal was, I tell my drivers, I said, go to the front, man. Don't worry about sheet metal.
Right.
We got plenty of sheet metal. We'll tear it off, and we'll put, like, 2 rivets in it so you can rip it off real quick and go on to the front. We'll get some more on it next week.
Well, and that's what I've always told everybody. You know, I'll show up at a racetrack with a good-looking race car.
I'm going to look good when I get there.
But no one's ever accused me of being scared to scratch one of them.
I used to hit by with a ball peen hammer when he come out of the paint shop.
Yep.
What the hell do you do that for, man? We done worked on all that. I said, I don't want y'all worried about scratching it up.
That's right. And sorry, scratch. Go racing.
Scratch now. Yeah. Let's go racing.
But, you know, and, you know, here's a local team with, you know, just a small group of guys, you know, working on it.
Right.
I've never hung my head about the piece of equipment that I took to the racetrack.
No.
Because we've always, our car has been as good, you know, as nice a piece as anything out
there.
And
you were capable of winning.
Yeah.
You know, and I've never went to the track, but I didn't feel like I could win.
Right.
If I did, I'd just stay at the house.
Well, yeah, if I didn't think it was competitive, I wouldn't load it up.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, leave that sucker at the shop.
Yeah, I wasn't done working on it if it wasn't
work on
competitive.
It next week.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, you can't go. You go to the track half prepared and not competitive. How is going and racing that car and wearing on it or wrecking it going to make it faster for next week?
No, it won't. You're tearing up everything you got, you know, because you were negligent and not properly preparing it.
That's So leave it at the house until it is ready to come back and be competitive. But you know, it's a passion like just anything else, you know. But we've taken and run outlaw races this year. And
you've done an awesome job with it, too.
We did built a nice car and been very competitive with it, won the championship with it. So
there you go. You've been out front.
If we're going to go, we're going to go to win. So,
there you go.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
That's why y'all ought to get you some of those T-shirts like a team I used to know had. It said up front racing.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to be up front.
One way or the other.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to be up front racing.
Did those shirts look better on girls?
Yes, in some occasion. They sure did. I mean, what are you talking about, Charlie? But, Charlie, you shake up one of those beers and it foams up real well, you know, and then you go, then you got a T-shirt contest. Hello?
Yeah. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
All right, come on, let's play some.
Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, Tom, I see you're reading the magazine over here about some of the new Chevy stuff.
I thought he was coloring the pictures.
I tried to talk to...
Yeah, I took the crayons away from him.
I'm good at that.
Yeah.
They don't fix the pictures and stuff exactly like
I think
they ought to be.
But you got to stay inside the lines.
I touch it. But, I have trouble staying in the lines. I get out of the lines. But we were talking last week about the new 2020 Chevy Silverado 1500. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I brought up the fact about the difference in the motors. And we've got some base prices here that they've produced in, what is this? Oh, it's Popular Mechanics. And it had the base price on the 2020 Silverado 1500 is $29,895. Now, you can buy one of those up to $70,000, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can get everything in.
Well, they can charge you whatever you want.
Include the kitchen sink.
You know, if you want to pay $100,000, they'll take it.
But now, we were talking about the difference in the motors that are available.
Mm-hmm.
So then it has an engine upgrade for that particular style of truck, mm-hmm. and it says that the engine upgrade is $2,495. Well, now, in that upgrade, you have the choice of a 6.2-liter gas V8.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this gas V8 has 420 horsepower, 460 pounds of foot of torque.
Right.
And or the availability of a 3.0-liter diesel mm-hmm. inline six-cylinder.
Yep.
Is that a GM motor?
Well, yeah, it's basically a Duramax.
Duramax, okay.
It's an inline version of it. Neat little motor.
Undoubtedly, but it says that this is the diesel that you could get for the same price if you wanted, rather than getting the 6.2-liter gas V8.
Mm-hmm.
But now this diesel gets 16 miles per gallon in the city, 20 miles per hour gallon on the highway. The gas gets 16 miles per gallon in the city. Mm-hmm. The diesel gets 23 miles per gallon in the city. The gas burner gets 20 miles per gallon on the highway, and the diesel gets 29 miles per gallon. That's 10 miles. That's right at 10 miles per gallon. That's a third right. more.
Yeah, but isn't diesel more expensive than...
Well, the kicker here is that 6.2-liter requires premium fuel, which is actually more expensive than the diesel.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh, okay. So it would behoove you, I would think, to order the little six-cylinder diesel.
Yep.
You know, and to get that. Now, it said that here's the only problem with that, though, the having the big V8, 420 horsepower, versus mm-hmm. the six-cylinder diesel... The maximum towing pounds for the gas burner is 13,400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
The maximum poundage towing, maximum towing, 9,300 pounds for the diesel. So you lose about, that's 4,000 pounds of towing capacity.
Right.
But well, I don't know when that would come into effect unless you were all of them.
Well,
one of them super fifth wheel Taj Mahal trailers or something.
Well,
you know?
That's not something you should really be doing with a half ton truck anyway.
Whoa, wait a minute. There you go. That's right.
Because we're talking about half ton trucks here.
Right. There you go.
You know, if you're going to be towing something with that kind of weight capacity, you really need to step up to a 3/4 1 ton with the V8 Duramax.
The V8 Duramax diesel.
That has, I think it's 910 or something foot-pounds of torque.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's 400, I believe, somewhere 377 or 400 horsepower. I don't remember exactly
Woo!
What it is.
All right, but see, we were talking about those figures. Let's see where they're at here. I just saw something. That was 9,300 pounds, but mm-hmm. with a little diesel in this half-ton pickup truck.
Right.
Now, you can go up to 35,000.
Right.
That's three times more, 35,500 pounds. And there's a truck for that, too. It's called the 3500 HD.
Right.
Now, is that a one-ton?
That's the one-ton.
Would that be a dually?
That'd be a one-ton dually.
Okay.
That's the maximum towing capacity. And you can actually, and a lot of people don't realize it, you can get a one-ton single rear tire.
Oh, really?
Truck.
Would you want that pulling a big trailer?
You know, it depends on the trailer. You know, if it's not real tongue heavy, it's not that big a deal, you know. You're more stable with the dual rear tires, but... you know, if it's something you're not pulling all the time and it's not really overloaded on the tongue, then
okay.
you know, the single rear axle.
Don't they have some, I want to say exotic, but it's not necessarily exotic, but they just have some upgraded tires that are available for something mm-hmm. like that. Would probably, rather than being a 4-ply or 6-ply, you could go to 8-ply or 10-ply, I would think.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, well, most of them have a 10-ply tire, but you can actually go up to like a 16-ply if you really wanted
Woo!
To. But,
16?
Yeah, they've got some sure enough tires out there.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course, you're going to sacrifice some ride quality, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
But,
and some pocketbook.
Yeah. And one of the things, and I'm kind of getting off the inline six here for a second, but, you know, they play numbers with the horsepower and torque numbers.
You know what? I'm reading that right here, but the difference when Chevrolet's come out with their 6.6-liter Duramax diesel, and it had 397 horsepower, but Ford immediately re-rated this engine to 400 horsepower just so they could say that it had three more horsepower.
Yeah, they changed the numbers. But
yeah.
You know, Chevrolet just didn't really start playing that game with them, you know, and Dodge come out with their 1,000 foot-pound and then forward up them a little bit on their
Ram with the 2020 with 475
You know, the
horsepower and 1,050 pounds foot of torque.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, you know, the neat thing about that is they took the Dodge and the Chevrolet, and the Dodge is more torque and,
right,
and more horsepower
supposedly
than the Chevrolet.
Yeah.
But the 0 to 60 times was 2 seconds faster on a Chevrolet.
And that somebody's advantage, not telling the truth.
And that advantage stayed there with the heavy trailer tied to it.
Oh, my goodness.
A 15,000 pound trailer tied to the back of both trucks.
Well, I think a big part of that credit goes to that Chevy's new Allison 10-speed automatic transmission.
Yeah, and that's...
Can you believe that? A 10-speed automatic transmission behind a diesel.
Yep. I tell you what. Think about
Allison's
it.
Allison's is one of the world's best transmission for
that is the,
40 or 50
that
years.
That is the toughest transmission
it is. It's bulletproof.
In the world.
Yep.
You know, bar none, because I just... We don't go into them, you know. We've replaced a couple, but it was
years,
for something, yeah,
over years,
and you know, it's just something catastrophic had to happen. I mean, it's something,
right.
It had to
it
break.
Wasn't everyday,
something,
it wasn't
yeah,
everyday.
It was not an everyday normal deal, you know, or it had, you know, 500,000 miles on it or something.
Yeah.
But well, even at that, usually you don't have a problem with Allison.
Well, all that being said, and I think where we were going that, and one of the things that we certainly do is appreciate is the fact that UJ has been with us, you know, for quite a few years now, and I feel like that they're going to continue to stay with us. So
yeah,
we certainly want to promote their product, and you being their shop foreman and the guru there that everybody's going to go see the car doctor. You know, and we appreciate that, but they've also got a humongous product.
Oh, yeah.
It's just great. It's a great product.
Yeah.
Now, let's change the subject a little bit. I'm sure there's somebody out there wants to call and ask us a question. Let's dump the doctor today. But I had a little discussion with a nurse today, and
you're going to be all right.
I hope so. We'll have to get the results back from the blood test.
Okay.
But she was talking. She said, "I want to ask you about my car." I said, "Okay." She said, "I had somebody to check the codes in it." I said, "Okay." I said, "How many codes did it have in it?" "Oh, about 12." I said, "What did they tell you it needed?" "Well, there's about 3 or 4 things, and one of them was some kind of something. I said, "An ECM?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "You know what that is?" She said, "I said, that's the computer."
"It's what? The brain."
"That's the brain." I said, "Do you know how much that cost?" She says, "No, we hadn't got that far yet." I said, "Well, let me tell you something." I said, "What shop did you take it?" "Oh, I took it to my uncle's buddy that's got a little shop behind his house."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Okay."
With a Radio Shack code reader.
"Yeah, well, yeah, with a Radio Shack or one of them code readers, you know."
"Yeah."
I said, let me give you some good advice, and I'm going to see if you're on that page. I said, break down and take your car to the dealership.
Right.
And let them... and are a certified independent shop that has bought all of the new diagnostic equipment and knows how to do it, and let them run all the codes, get the codes, clear the codes out of that, keep the codes in their machine, go drive the car or run the car and see what codes come back
right
immediately, and then let them tell you which one of those parts you need, not all of them."
Yeah, I mean, and it's possible that it could need 3 parts. Now, I've had, on more than one occasion, someone bring me a box full of parts.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
And
want so, you to put them on?
Even back in my day, they did that.
Well, they had 12 codes, so there's got to be 12 things wrong with it.
They're going to sell them 12 parts. Well, they don't need them 12 parts.
Right.
One code started all of that.
Exactly. You know, and there's... I guess a prime example is I had a gentleman traveling through trying to get back to Texas for Christmas, and his box truck shut down, and it had codes for power supply and for throttle angle and all this, and it didn't know where the throttle was, so it wouldn't even let the truck spin over. Okay. you know, first off, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, it's got to be computer or it's got to be throttle body, mm-hmm. you know. Well, it ended up having a bad relay that was causing both issues.
I'll be damned.
Yeah. you know, got him going, got him back on the road, going back to Texas, so he didn't, because he was kind of in panic mode
trying to get home.
Man. Yeah. Because we're not going to be open tomorrow in service, and so it was kind of a, it didn't get there till about 3 o'clock today,
we were trying to get him going.
Panic. Yeah. Glad I was able to, you know, get him on the road and send him down the road. You know, we always try and step up when someone's stuck like that on the highway. I'd appreciate it if they'd do it for me if I was stuck somewhere.
It is no fun.
No, it's never any fun to be out on the road and don't know how you're going to get home.
We used to do the same thing with racers, you know, we'd race on Friday night in Pensacola and break mm-hmm. the car. And so we'd open on Saturday morning, had the shop open, had a mm-hmm. big enough place there that we could get to the welding machine and all that. So usually on Saturday morning, we'd have four or five race cars in there, competing teams, trying to get the cars back together so they could race Saturday night. But the same thing, you know, just helping somebody. You know?
Well, local guys would open up and say, hey, bring car, we'll get it ready for you.
Oh, yeah, we'll get that sucker going, man.
Yeah. Yep. Sound like it's time for us to take a break.
I'll let you hear some
Charlie Brown here.
I knew it, do it.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. You know, Tom, we were talking a little bit about the Silverado, the new inline six diesel.
Yeah.
I actually got we got two of them in here now.
For a little diesel?
Week or so. Yeah, we got a couple of them in a week or so ago.
I'll come out. Can you take me for a ride or whatever? I'd like to ride in a diesel.
I've already been out playing with it.
I bet you. Yeah, the car doctor is going to check it
I'm
out.
I had to take it out and check it out. But yeah. Really impressed. One thing, you don't hardly hear the thing run.
It's not like the old diesel. It sounds like they're swapping holes with the pistons or something.
Well, when everybody thinks of an inline six diesel, they think about that old Cummins 12 valve that was in the early Dodge trucks.
Yeah. Now, they were bulletproof.
Oh, they were
tough.
They
did a good job, too.
They were tough motors, but, you know, if it turned off a 65 and 10, I'd hear it here, you know. You got a very advanced... it seemed like I lost my hearing here.
That was my phone.
But we lost, they had a very loud, there you go, I can hear you again. But had a very loud motor in that thing. It was you couldn't stand to be in the truck.
Well, the first diesels we had, even back in the day when I was in the trucking industry, in the 50s and 60s and early 70s, I mean, those things, man, those old Mack trucks and those big old KWs and Peterbilts that we had with a big old... You just about had to wear earplugs to even be in the thing to drive it. And if you got standing outside of it when it cranked up, it was awful. These new diesels don't do that.
No.
And they don't have to... You don't have to wait for the glow plugs to light up at all.
Right. Oh, no. I mean,
how do they do that? How do they get around that heat factor?
It's just a higher compression ratio, and it's it generates so much pressure that it's going to light off.
It'll fire off without having a glow plug to ignite it the first fire.
And it does have a glow plug, but the glow plugs heat up almost instantaneous. You know, so you know we've got a remote start on diesels, so it's not like you have to turn the key on, wait for a light to go out, and then crank
it. You can remote start it?
Yeah, you can remote start your diesel, no problem. It fires right up.
I'd buy a new truck. That's what I'd want.
Yeah.
I'll pay the other 30, 40, 50 cents a gallon.
Yeah, it's a neat deal, you know, and you know they're extremely quiet. The power band on these things, it's just very smooth. I mean, it was very smooth running.
Well, but at 10 speed, you probably don't know when it even shifts.
See, that's the really cool thing about this particular motor and diesels in general. They make their max torque at about 1,600 RPMs.
Whoa. So, they don't turn a lot of R's.
Not turning a lot of R's. It can.
Okay.
You know, it redlines about 5,500 RPMs. Which is a bunch for a diesel.
Yeah, that's a bunch for a diesel now. Usually you're not over, not over 3,000.
Right. But you don't need to turn it that hard because it's making its power down low, you know.
Well, when it does that, where your mileage is coming from.
Right. You can keep it down in that low RPM and keep the fuel mileage up and still have the power to pull. Whereas with the gas burner, I mean, you're having to get up somewhere around 4,500 RPMs get that same kind of torque.
Let me ask you this. I'm being an old trucker. We always prompted our guys to not lug a truck. If it got down below a certain RPM, go back and grab another gear. Get down in a lower gear. Bring the RPMs back up.
Right.
Will that automatic transmission do that automatically?
Oh, it does every bit of it.
In other words, it's computer orientated to the point where it keeps you in the proper power range of RPMs all the time.
It's doing its best to keep you in the max power torque range of that motor to maximize fuel economy and the power band.
Okay.
So
now, does the transmission have its own separate computer?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then you have a computer for your body control.
Oh, there's.
And then you've got another computer for your engine control. So
there's 15 computers on this thing.
Oh, my
so
Lord.
It's no problem with enough brain power to do whatever it needs to do. Trust me.
It could go to the moon and back by itself, probably.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. But they're doing it with they're making it quiet. Because the diesel, what you got to understand, is it's running off detonation, so it's throwing fuel into a high compression and heat environment, and that's what lights it off.
Yeah,
so.
But the cylinder walls in it are real thick, you know, and the pistons, top of the pistons, are designed to take that detonation.
Yeah,
but a gas burner is not.
No.
Detonation will ruin your motor and burn your pistons and break cylinder walls and all kind of stuff.
Exactly. But these things, they may have as much as, they may inject fuel into that cylinder as many as 8 times.
What?
During a combustion event.
What?
So during one stroke, it
what?
May put
Come
fuel
on.
In 8 different times during that. And that's how they're able to, like the Duramax, originally they called it a pilot injection, where it would put a little fuel in early and smooth out that real hard bang was that the old diesels would do.
Well, that took the noise out of the motor.
That took most of the noise out.
Okay.
You know? But this is, they can control a lot better with this way.
You said that now. We also said that the diesel fired from compression. In other words, you compress that diesel fuel so hard with so much pressure that it would ignite.
Right.
When they're putting that other flip fuel in there, is the cylinder and the top of the piston all so hot it'll automatically ignite that fuel?
Oh yeah, it's
without
already,
having to compress it.
Yeah, I mean it's you know
it compresses it
has stroke. Enough compression already to start igniting that fuel. So
Ooh.
it's basically starting a flame.
That is so cool. They have engineered that sucker to where it's just an unbelievable piece of equipment.
It is.
I want to come to get a test drive in.
They're smooth. They're quiet.
Will it bark the tires?
It will spin the tires taking off, believe it or not.
I'll know that, guys, when I tell y'all.
Hey, we got time for a quick call.
Okay.
All right. Do it.
Caller, you're on there.
I'm sorry to call back again, man.
Okay.
Just please forgive me. Listen, is there a problem with the battery being in the trunk of the car now instead of under the hood?
No, it's actually better for the battery because it's in a little cooler or warmer climate rather than being out under the hood in the elements. I've seen them last longer being there.
Last a lot longer.
Yeah.
No problem
whatsoever. And they're vented outside the vehicle, so it's not like fumes are getting into the car anyway. So it's actually a good thing.
It's perfected. Yeah. Nope, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All right, well, don't laugh at me.
Now, baby.
Oh, no, we don't laugh at you.
Go eat.
We're all good.
Go eat some some turkey and ham. And
there you go.
There you go. There you go.
Hey, let's go out a little bit early.
I want you to hear that song.
This group. This is Home Free is the name of the group.
Hoorah to all our veterans out there. God bless all of you that listen to the show. We certainly appreciate you listening, and y'all have a blessed holiday.
Everybody have a Merry Christmas. We'll be back.
Like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. And I'll float on down the river to a Cajun hideaway.
Creeks and cool mountain mornings, honest work out in the fields, cornbread in my mama's kitchen, daddy's saying grace before the meal.
Family ties run deep in this land,
and I'm never very far.
What I'll always be, like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free.
Wild and free.
I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. I was born country. Until life's no fun.